It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of UGA Sports Live. I'm your host today, Jake Roos, as Roddy Nabulsi continues to traverse the world and enjoy himself. That must be nice, I guess. Joining us, as always, we've got Coach Jim Donna down here. Good to see him, as always. And special guest today, Patrick Garbin. First time, long-time listener, first time appearance on the old UGA Sports.
Yeah. You know, I've been asking Roddy for 3 years to put me on the show, and it takes him going halfway across the world before I can get on. But, no, I appreciate y'all having me on.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. If you don't know Pat, he is our guy at UGA Sports who is pretty much the five-tool player. I mean, literally the utility man, a little bit of recruiting, a little bit of history, a little bit of team news. Guy handles it all and does a great job. So we're thrilled to have him on here. I got to tell you, between he and Dave McMahon, I don't know that there are I don't know that any there's nothing that you guys don't know about Georgia football. So always
Thank
cool.
You.
Yeah,
I guess.
Always cool to be out here at Champy's. Remember, you can always come join us. Normally, we're here on Tuesdays at noon. It's Wednesday today, obviously, but we came out because it's the day after media days. Obviously, a big event for the Bulldogs yesterday, so we'll definitely be touching on a lot of that today. But I do want to thank all of our sponsors. Of course, Champy's Chicken. Get out here, get the best tenders in town, the best fried chicken you can get your hands on, and the tamales, which are excellent, as always. You can also swing out by our friends at Athens Ford. Go see those guys. We love them. We appreciate their sponsorship and what they do for us, not only on the show, but also on the site. Big shout-out to Academia, with one of the best breweries that you'll find anywhere around. Remember, they are always having live music, specials. We'll get to some of that here a little bit later in the show. I'll tell you a little bit about it. We got Cable East and Robert Wall. We got our good friends out here at YourPie, and we certainly appreciate them as well. Go by, if you're not in the mood for chicken or a cold beer out at Academia, swing by, grab a YourPie pizza. You're going to love it. And I think with that, let's launch
365.
In. Oh yeah, and 365 game day. I'm sorry, you're right, Coach. See, this is why you're the coach. You're gonna need some new gear. Hey, listen, for me, media day is almost. I mean, that's like the kickoff to the season. It's here essentially. So you're gonna need new gear this season. Get out and check out 365 game day. And we will definitely be pumping them up as we get closer to the season as well. As we said, media days yesterday, guys. The Dogs took to it. Obviously, they're still ongoing right now. Tennessee kind of making the big waves today. But Georgia was up at the podium yesterday. Had Jonathan Ledbetter, Terry Godwin, and J.R. Reed out there. Patrick, you were there. Just your impressions. What did you see? What did you hear? What did you think of the performance of the Bulldogs?
Well, I think what something that really struck me was obviously going into media days, you know, all Georgia enthusiasts and media, they know the story of Jonathan Ledbetter and the issues he was having with alcohol, you know, stemming from, arrest all the way to where he had to, go in that program, and he missed the first six games of the 2016 season. And here he is, you know, just a year and a half later, up there as one of the representatives for Georgia. And, you know, I wrote this in the story I posted on UGASports.com this morning, but, you know, they supply you with all this media stuff. And I was looking through this little book, and it had all the representatives from – I think beginning in 1989 for all 10 to 14 teams. And I just started looking through them for Georgia, and you know what really stuck out besides the fact that all those guys were actually, you know, obviously standouts, is that no one had to go through so much adversity with like personal issues than he did. I mean, most of these kids, at least what we heard, kept their nose clean and were good kids. which Jonathan is now. But just his backstory, I guess, is it's got to be, you know, very unique.
Coach,
one of a kind.
Yeah, what was your take on that? You know, that to take Ledbetter, you know, as Patrick mentioned, a guy with some issues, you knew he was going to get questioned about it, and he certainly did. But, you know, what kind of statement did that make to you to bring a guy like that down to represent the program?
Well, I think Kirby being the head of the program, you know, it's his choice who he's going to take over there to represent the team. And I think he sends a message to the team: if you do what you're supposed to, and whether it's because you made some mistakes or whether you've just been an exemplary player, he's going to make sure everybody knows what your contributions are. And I think this in its own way was a good way to show that, hey, you did what you're supposed to. You've come back. You're doing things the Georgia way, and I want everybody to hear your story, because there's got to be other people out there that are going through the same kind of difficulties. And here's a guy that gives you a chance to promote your program. And I thought one of the best things that he said was, "Look, you know, Coach Smart rides us hard, and he does everything, you know, 100 miles an hour. But at the same time, he's a very compassionate guy, and he really gave me the shot that I needed, and I'll be forever grateful for that." And I know Kirby didn't do that just so everybody would hear it, but I do feel like the symbolism of having a guy like that is very salient to any team, that you got to have different kind of leaders. Some are quiet leaders, some are by example, some are by ability and all that. But constantly, since he's taken over the program, it's been a, who are going to be the leaders, and how are they going to be, you know, take over the, for the ones that we lost last year? We lost some really good leaders, but I think you just listen to him talk about recruiting Jay Hayes. I mean, here's a guy that could go anywhere in the country. He could go to Oklahoma. He committed there. He visited Alabama. I mean, I think, or he was supposed to go visit, but I mean, he had his opportunity, and he came here and Ledbetter basically had something to do with it, because he said, hey, if you do what you're supposed to, he's going to be open-minded, and that's what you got to have. You got to have a guy that's making this fifth year. You know, you want a coach that's going to base it on fact and base it on production. And I'm just going to tell you right now here on this show here, our team incrementally between the spring practice and today, getting two guys of the stature of Jay Hayes and Demetrius Robertson, and I think he's going to make it. You know, I'm not going to give a prediction that he's going to make it for sure as far as eligibility, but those are two premier players that could step in any place in the country and be in your top 22 very quickly. And to add that to all these five stars and the team that's already here is just a tremendous testimony to what Kirby's built here.
No doubt. The roster management, I think, has been really impressive. Those additions, I definitely want to touch on Demetrius as well as the couple other commitments.
Which we predicted.
We did. We'll pat ourselves a little on the back for that one. We deserve it once in a while.
I mean, I think that was pretty much, you know, of saying what day comes after Thursday. I mean, right.
I thought it was a really cool story. I thought to take Jonathan Ledbetter, to take a guy, J.R. Reed, who transferred from Tulsa at one point, you know, and a guy like Terry Godwin, who you know, was a bit of a roller coaster of a recruitment, but you know, kind of brought it down to the last day. But has always, you know, been a great contributor for Georgia. Will go down as a great Bulldog. You know, I thought that it was interesting. And somebody pointed out, Christopher White here points out. He says, "I thought it was really cool. I think he chose the right guys. They all had different paths to get to where they are right now. And I think that that is really neat. I think that that's a good point you made also about the recruiting. I think that." Taking a guy like Jonathan Ledbetter, you know, and putting him up on that stage, you know, there were of course dozens of reasons not to do it, but I think, you know, saying, hey, you know, we stuck by this young man, he's a part of our family, we took care of him. I think things like that translate onto the recruiting trail.
And one of the things the fans need to know, I mean, we've got all these people working for our program in different capacities, and they encourage the student athletes we're recruiting to go on line and watch it on ESPN3 or watch SEC Network. But watch the, you know, Georgia's going to be on today. Watch us. You know, here's Coach Smart. Here's a chance to see him up and personal. But at the same time, they tape these things and they send it out, and they see these guys talking like that, and parents like to hear that. They like to see here's a guy that's had the benefit of being in a program, and the way you present yourself, publicly is very important. You know what I mean? It's just important that the image is, our image right now is very good. I mean, to me, a lot of not many off the field incidents. Everything's going right, and hopefully it'll keep on. Now, I know there's always going to be some hunky dory things here, but I just think, again, when you look at the last 3 years in between spring practice and fall practice, Mo Smith, Catalina, Nislak. I mean, you just look at it year after year, the GM hat comes out for Kirby. You know, it's like NBA free agency. You know what I mean? We're coming in there and grabbing guys to make our team better. And you got a threat on the outside now, like Robertson, who's going to enhance the guys we got. And then you bring Hazelwood and Blaylock in here to play with him too. I mean, come on.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And Robertson, a huge addition. They picked up a couple of commits after that as well. And we'll definitely touch on all of those guys for sure.
Can I say one thing about Ledbetter? You know,
you say anything you want to.
That's right. I'm on the show.
The man's over there. He's over there. He's probably online over there. He's riding a camel somewhere over there someplace.
But besides the fact that he was there and he was very poised, he wasn't afraid to talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was there, which was for about 10 minutes, I mean, half the questions probably were related to his past issues and whatnot. And he not only, you know, answered everything to the fullest, but even questions not really related to it, he would say things like he'd made mistakes in his life and you know, he had been through a lot and whatnot, so he's still referring to it. So he, I don't know. I thought I came away, besides what that guy that covers Kentucky, what he asked. I think I came away from media days yesterday most impressed with that, I think.
Yeah, I really thought that it was a good show all around. I thought that Kirby did very well. I thought that he handled that question about Easton still being on the roster very well. And everybody, I think, who I've spoken to about that was cracking up. I know I certainly was. I cringed at home when that guy said that. But, yeah, it was overall a good show. And really, I think, you know, if you're looking at where they are now, the lead up to Media Days and Georgia's appearance there was all these commits that we've talked about. This idea of, you know, you had Robertson on Saturday. On Sunday comes Zion Logue, 3-star defensive end.
Monday, you know, the thing about Zion, too, that I like, a lot like Richard Seymour, he just turned 17. This guy's a pup.
Yep.
I mean, you look at the potential that he's got. Maybe he's not a 4-star and all that, but you know, I just think we look at the length that he presents. You look at his upside, and hey, it's like unbelievable that like 8 out of the top 9 or 10 kids in the state of Tennessee have already committed outside the state.
Yeah,
that's really surprising to me.
Oh, I completely agree. And I think Logue is a kid who, you know, you mentioned that length. He's a guy who reminds me a lot of Raekwon Davis at Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
I think that he's kind of got some right. similarities in his game. You know, it's going to take some time for him to develop, but I definitely want to dive into those guys. Robertson, of course, Demetrius Robertson, for those of you who have been keeping up, the former Cal transfer, decides he's going to be a Bulldog on Saturday, announces that to the world, takes out a little video and lets everybody know. Coach, I mean, you've spoken very highly, obviously, about what he brings to the field. You know, in watching him at Cal and seeing the things that he did, you know, does this mean Georgia – do you expect that this means Georgia's going to open it up a little bit more even?
No, I think it'll be a case of utilizing his skill level, you know, and I think – there's going to be certain elements of our offense that may be a little different than last year just because of the two backs that we lost. You just don't know how the other backs are going to blend in. I'm excited, like, listening to Kirby about, you know, how we're going to use these backs, but they're going to have to prove themselves too. I mean, you know, Swift's done well, but he hasn't been in the driver's seat either, so he's got to step up. And, of course, you know, you look at Holyfield, and it's just been waiting in the wings. He's got the talent, and Harrion does too, and then – who's to say what's going to happen with these two new ones, but with White and Cook. But I'm just I think offensively, talking to Chaney off the cuff and not really getting into it a whole lot, I just feel like that, you know, with the front, we've got two deep front that we've got, that we're going to be able to manufacture a lot of yards without having to worry about pass protection, you know, run blocking on short yardage and all that. We just got some stallions up front going to make it easier. And then the tight ends being able to yo-yo those guys a little bit back and forth with motion to give you a two-back look with a lead blocker. All of them are very adept at doing that, and all of that Werner, they're just really good. And, you know, we'll just have to see how it all plays out. But then you add the element of what you're going to use with Fields, which we haven't had with the quarterback runs. So it's going to be a very difficult team to defend. Another year with Jake having been at the helm and knowing everything like he does, I mean, you can keep on expanding if you want to.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree.
Coach, let me ask you something, because, you know, you mentioned it earlier, is Demetrius going to play this year? Well, yesterday when Kirby met with beat media early in the morning, you know, he was one of the first questions, and he said, hey, look, I don't know much about, you know, the waiver. And it's in the NCAA's hands now. You mentioned earlier, you think it could get
done. Yeah, well, just for the fans out there that aren't really sure about what the process is, there is a hardship case where you can, if you transfer, that you can apply for a hardship because of illness in your family, because of certain extenuating circumstances where they grant you the transfer and give you immediate eligibility. A little bit different in this case from the standpoint, you have 5 years to play for, and last year he got a medical red shirt because he was injured. So essentially he has 3 years to play three now, you know what I'm saying? So if he were to sit out this year, then he would have two left, and more than likely that after sitting out, he would probably just play 1 year and go on to the league, I would think. But I'm not putting words in anybody's mouth. But hopefully they'll look at the fact that he was hurt last year, that he's come back and there's some illness in the family. I'm not sure who it is, but hopefully they'll look at that. And they wanted to be closer to home. And, you know, you're seeing more and more the NCAA hopefully has started ruling in the favor of the athletes a little bit more, looking at each situation like the way they should look at it. You know, what's in the best interest? You got to protect the schools and all the guys just leaving. But in this case, I would hope that we got a really good case for this kid wanting to come back and play in his home state and be, you know, closer to his family.
I think that what you said too is something that's been on my mind, and it's something that I think will come into play, is that idea of him taking the medical red shirt last year. I mean, he's already sat out a season. I know that that necessarily wasn't with a transfer in mind, but it happened. And so I think that there's just something about me that thinks that the NCAA will consider that and say, yeah, okay, you know, you've done your time, I guess, to sit out, whatever.
Just look at the facts, man. They dragnet. Check the facts, man. Joe Friday, let's get it. Basically, it should boil down to is you know, this is if he would have gone to Alabama or West Virginia or Texas, then that wouldn't have been a very good case for him. You know, hey, I want to be closer to home. Really, West Virginia is long way from Savannah. But I think the other thing that needs to be pointed out here on the case was kind of like what we talked about when we recruited Ben Watson. You know, Ben went to Duke and we said, hey, Ben, when you get ready to come back, we really want you to give us a shot. If you know, just tell us that. And it was a really good parting of the ways. Same thing, Schumann and Coley, you know, worked hard on this kid down there and had a good relationship with him. And then Kirby's been working on him since the ninth grade. And he just, I remember the tweet he put out there, congratulations. And the difference in this recruit and a lot of them, this guy didn't sign on signing date. It was way after that. Yeah. So there was a long process of recruiting the guy after the signing date too. So you got to believe there were some sleepless nights for a lot of coaches there. And,
A lot of times,
you know, you just get with the guy and you just say, hey, good luck, and don't even talk to him very long because you're so mad about it. But, you know, you need to part the ways and don't leave any bad feelings if you can help it, you know. But there's been plenty of times I've had some really bad feelings about some of these guys that told me no when I thought we had them, that's for sure.
Now, Patrick, you were the one that looked up the stats for me. We were talking about, you know, Demetrius Robertson, as soon as he steps onto campus, is immediately second on the team in receptions, receiving yards, and touchdowns for the career. And he's got 1 year under his belt, yeah. Whereas he's right behind Terry Godwin, who's going into his senior year.
Yeah, I mean, it's because I guess that freshman year, he caught like 70 passes or so, and I want to say nearly double-digit touchdowns. I think one question this does bring up, though, is this something the NCAA going to try to deal with swiftly, promptly? Like within the next 5 weeks?
Yeah, they'll give you a decision on that. I mean, it's not like these guys are got a myriad amount of these transfers like this. I would think that would be something within. In all fairness to the kid, you know, they don't want to make a ruling in September that you can play and he misses three games or something.
Yeah,
know?
Absolutely.
So it'll be one way or the other, and we got the right people on it. I mean, I'm very hopeful that it's going to turn out in our way. And then another guy that we talked about, the quick on his feet like a dancing bear, Warren McClendon. We, you know, everybody's kind of poo-pooing the fact we lost a couple guys out of state to out-of-state schools and people committed and all that. But deep down, you know, this is one of our must guys, I thought. I thought Warren McClendon was a guy that not only Coach Pittman wanted. I really feel Kirby deep down, you know, as a defensive coach. So all the benefits this guy has and all the upside he had, just a good personality too. I mean, you guys deal with him
absolutely
a lot more than me, but he looks like a Georgia guy listening, talking to him, doesn't he?
I agree. Yeah. I agree. I want to deep dive into him, but I want to mention our friends over at Athens Ford first.
Mention
they got,
that.
They got a few specials. You need to get out there and check it out if you're in the mood or in the looking for a new car, trying to get in some new wheels. 2018 Focus, special price $13,999 or finance at 0% APR. 460 months for qualified buyers. You can also get out. They got the Fusion for $18,999. Also, the 0% financing deal available with that. $8,000 off the Explorer. $14,000 off of the F-150 right now. Those things are pretty sweet. And they all come with the lifetime powertrain warranty. That's the only one in town that does that. So make sure you get out there. Go see our friends at Athens Ford. They're big sponsors of the site. They're big Georgia fans. Support the businesses that support the dogs. That's what we always
say. Right.
That's what Georgia says. And Athens Ford certainly does that. They do a great job with it. But you mentioned Warren McClendon, and Coach, I think that, you know, for those of you not familiar with him, a kid out of Brunswick, a four-star Rivals 250 player, slated, I think, kind of in between offensive tackle and offensive guard. You know, I think it's possible he'll get a look at either or all of them. What I think is the best thing about McClendon, at least in my opinion, he's a guy I consider a utility player, like Patrick.
That's right.
He's a guy. This guy, I think, can play any of the five spots on the line. I think now you wouldn't necessarily need him to play center, but I think if he called on, he could do it. He reminds me in that regard of Isaiah Wynn. You know, he's a guy that I would feel comfortable slotting at any position. He's very, very sharp. He's very strong. He's great on his feet. There were some clips we even saw from the opening of him being able to keep up with Nolan Smith, and that's a guy who's running, you know, like 4.41 in the 40. This is a big man with a lot of agility and a guy that, like I said, Georgia has tremendous depth on the offensive line. They've got a number of guys just stacked up like club sandwiches, to steal a phrase. But Warren is a utility player, and I don't know how many guys they have that I would say can play any of the five spots. I think he's a guy who could.
Yeah, even though we do have so-called depth, a lot of it's unknown depth because they haven't played, but certainly based on their rating that you, Patrick and Jake, you look at these guys, you got to think that they're going to step on and because of their rating around the country. But I just think that, to me, watching this guy on tape and watching him in the camp up here, I would just say, makes my mouth water. Hey, as an offensive coach, you just know a guy like that. You know, same way I felt about Foster and Breedlove and those guys. I mean, you just can't get enough offensive linemen. And obviously, you can't get enough defensive linemen, too. And hopefully, we got this kid this weekend, and hopefully, we're going to get Big Stag in here in a couple of weeks. What do you say? I'm saying we're getting him, don't you?
I think I like Georgia's chances. I really do. I think that
you know what I'm talking about, right?
I think I do know. Yeah,
y'all tell me. I'm
we'll tell you off air. We'll save that for the message.
Okay,
Patrick, you're a UGA historian. You're a guy who knows this team inside and out, and has for many years. How does this offensive line compare? I mean, what they're going to mount, what they're going to march out on the field this year? I mean, where do you think this thing stacks up with what they've had before?
I mean, as far as and like Coach said, you know, a lot of it's they're deep, but it's you know, there's a lot of inexperienced depth. I mean, I can't really think of a Georgia team, especially one since they limited scholarships. To 85, but even when, you know, when it was limited to, I think we went 105, 90, Coach would know better, 90, something like that. I can't think of a Georgia team where there was so much depth. I mean, I remember being a kid and hearing Vince Dooley, you know, in the mid late 80s, and he had great, wonderful lines, but often, you know, maybe that backup at left guard was kind of a question mark, and he'd go on and probably be overly pessimistic about it. But to be honest, just on depth, and again, like Coach said, we're going to have to see how it all plays out. I'd be willing to say there hasn't been, like, for example, if you had to take this third string and put it up against any other third, you couldn't compare it.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I can't think of one.
Well, here's what's going to happen now. I think usually you got five guys, and then you got a guy that can come in there and play guard or tackle or something like that. You got five or six, maybe two more that can jump in there and really give you what you got to need against the big teams. But I think from a two deep perspective, I think we can actually substitute a whole line in there and give a team rest if they need to without really worrying about or how these guys are going to focus out there and play. I used to do that when I had really good teams because these guys deserve an opportunity. Now, we used to do that at Oklahoma because we had so many good players. And it's good for morale, too, to get those guys out there and let them, you know, show what they can do because a lot of times they do even better than what you thought they would. So I always look at it like this, Patrick. I'm a lot more interested in the kid feeling like I feel like you can do it going out there instead of saying, what's he going to do wrong? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So these guys deserve that opportunity. They've worked at it, and that'll be up to Coach Chaney, you know, the way they call the plays and all. But I can see a lot of guys. I mean, we don't have any trouble playing five, six, seven receivers, three, four, five backs, two, three tight ends, you know. So I can see us doing that in the O-line, and I can see it at quarterback too.
Absolutely. I think that it's a you make a great point. I think that the second team offensive line, I think, could start for a few teams in this conference and several teams across the country in that regard.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just that deep. Speaking of getting deep, get out to Academia, go see our friends out there. Get a couple pints deep. They've got some crowlers left from their Friday the 13th Imperial Stout, the 13% Imperial Stout. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce the name, but if you go in and ask for the 13% Imperial Stout, I promise they'll know what you're talking about.
Let me ask Coach about you mentioned that. Were you saying that Georgia that you were able to you sometimes would substitute the whole, and you had some good offensive lines. I was going to ask which of
we did it Oklahoma five, a little bit more than we did here
which
because
of your five
a lot
teams.
Of it was because some of the teams we were playing were so bad. But you know, we used to practice for Nebraska and Texas all year long. I mean, you know, we'd be playing Kansas or Kansas State, and we'd just practice against Texas that week. You know, but and that's no slight on them. That's just the way it was in the Big Eight. But I think here we got a lot better in our O-line, and particularly as we continue to recruit. And I think the thing that we have with Coach Pittman is just developed such a good rapport with the line. As you know, it's their own little bailiwick over there. But yeah, these guys got good morale, and then they do a good job of recruiting the players that come in there, you know, and say, hey, if you want competition, you're going to have it. But sometimes these guys go to other places because they're worried about how quick they can play here. So, but I would say that that's a pretty good situation there in the O-line. Compared to 3 years ago, it was not good.
Yeah, no question. It's a totally different look. Well, I mean,
and that's the thing, too. You know, not only you said that the second line could play at other schools, but look at this turnaround. I mean, it's not like this has been a long, gradual thing. I mean, you know, it was – I mean, even a year ago, that was going to be the question.
We haven't missed on any of them either. These guys – there's no guys that aren't going to play at this point. But anyhow, what else did you wean out of that deal yesterday?
Any other takeaways, Patrick? I guess your take on Kirby's demeanor. I think he looks as comfortable as he ever has. He's getting so much better with the media and that what comes with that. I thought when he first started at Georgia, he was kind of cagey.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe rightfully so. I obviously you don't want to set a precedent that you're going to be some pushover guy, I guess, but you know, I think that he came off kind of charming, almost.
Well, even 2 years ago, you know, that was kind of a story coming out of the SEC media days, is how composed he seemed, you know, and they compared it to when Dan Mullen was at Mississippi State, and that same media days, I forget, he said something or came off as not with it, I guess, and there was a comparison. Here's, you got a first year head coach at Georgia who looked so much better. But the thing about Kirby that that really strikes me, and it's been doing this for, you know, 2 years now, is I like it, is how he's just to the point. Here's how it is. Hey, if I don't know it, I don't know it. If I don't want to tell you, I'm not going to tell you. But here's the deal. And yesterday he was the same way. He said, you know, it's real simple this year what this team's going to be about. He said it's going to be effectiveness versus potential.
Yep.
And he's going to do it. He did a lot better explaining that than I'm about to. But, you know, he just basically said that potential here is dormant. It is what it is. You know, you have to have your coaches and your players buy in, and then that effectiveness then affects the potential. And that's what separates 8-5 and 13-2.
And
there's a fine line between, you can use the word effectiveness, but we always said potential and performance. You know, how are you going to – this is what you're capable of, but how are you going to do it when the band's playing, you know? And getting back to Kirby, the thing that he's always given to the public – you know, his persona, and I've always encouraged, hey, just be who you are and try not, you're not Nick Saban, you're not, you know, anybody but Kirby Smart, and that's all you can be. And the thing that he does, which, you know, they used to teach us at ESPN, is when you're getting interviewed, just answer the question that's asked. Don't go on and talk for 3 days and 14 nights. You know, Jimbo Fisher, almost 7,000 words, but he was trying to build his persona there with which I can see. But I mean, I've always felt like sometimes self-disclosure hurts you a little bit because they didn't ask you that. Whatever they ask you, that's what you. But you don't need to open up your veins and tell them everything that you know. A lot of times they don't know it, and if they don't ask, don't tell them.
What did you make of the line? Pressure is a privilege.
I like it. I like it. I think it's definitely the feel, and you know, like Andrew Jackson said, and I believe this for a coach. I mean, I was born for the storm, you know, not the calm.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You, the storm is what it's all about as a coach. You got to be out there and you're going to be in the limelight and you're going to do all that. But I just think if you're a Georgia grad, you feel good about, or a supporter, you feel good about the face of the program is just a family man, an accomplished player, a graduate of your school, very articulate, and that, what else can you ask for? Plus, he's winning big. So, I mean,
yeah,
that's what the, what you want to have as a blueprint for people seeing what the program's all about.
Yeah, so speaking of what the program's all about, I do want to finish up talking about academia real quick. Their Fructosum series, you can still go out and get some of that. Niobe's Tears with the raspberry and key lime, which is excellent. I really love that beer. Go check that one out. And then they have their Tart Brett Saison, Everything He Touches. They do that one with cranberries and raspberries. So get out there. A couple limited releases that they've got on right now. Also, you can sign up online for Night Owl loyalty points. You spend money at the brew pub, you get money back. It earns points for that. So you can sign up online, Facebook, or at the brew pub. Get out there and do that. And then also Thursday night, tomorrow night, I guess, make sure you get out to Academia. They're going to have some live music from Reggie Starrett, as well as a beer collaboration with Good Word Brewing. So they haven't even released all the details to us yet. So get out there and check it out. Make sure to tell them we sent you, and go have yourself a great pint of beer. I think that we talked a lot about Kirby's performance at Media Day. Any other notable performances that you saw? I will say I caught Jeremy Pruitt this morning. They said that he delivered a filibuster unlike any other. About 10 and a half minutes he spoke for his opening comments. Went strong and long with it. And there was a little bit of ire raised by one Aaron Murray in regard to Jeremy Pruitt. Said essentially that he wasn't sure that he was made out for the head coaching role. Said that, you know, his relationships and the way that he's gone about his business, it made him question it. I was a little bit surprised to hear Murray come out and say something like that. I didn't know exactly where that came from. I mean, I have some ideas, I guess, but, you know, I think that it was a little bit surprising for me to hear that from him.
Yeah, you never know how a guy's going to react when he gets to be the head ball coach. I mean, there's a lot of different things that come into the whole specter of it. Certainly, he inherits a very difficult situation. I've talked to some pro scouts that were there in the spring, and just not many players up there right now. You know, they're bringing in some transfers and JUCOs and all that, but he's got a difficult situation too, and he's got to play Auburn and Alabama and crossover games, plus plays West Virginia, who's probably picked second in the Big 12 when you look at it after Oklahoma. So got one of the Heisman Trophy candidates at quarterback. But I'll say this, Jeremy Pruitt's one of the top five assistant coaches that's ever been here at Georgia. From what he did on the field, what he did off the field, helping change some of the things that needed to be changed. I give Coach Rick and Coach Friend and Coach Bobo, who orchestrated helping Coach Rick get him here. He brought in a lot of the things and set the pace. And Kirby will tell you, for our practices, our weight room, everything, he did a good job of establishing that, and he'll do the same thing there. So Aaron Murray's got his opinion, and that's okay, but it's hard to project who's going to do well. You know what I mean? I know how I feel about every coach that's coming in here this year in the league and what their opportunities are going to be and how they're going to be, but I'm not going to make them public. Not because I'm afraid to, because I just don't think it's fair for me to say that there's no chance this guy's going to make it, and I really know this guy's a can't miss and all that. You know, it's hard to project that, but based on performance and effectiveness.
Yeah, that's right.
I just feel like, look at this guy's pedigree. I mean, look at the national championships he's been associated with. The team he left at Georgia, look at how many of those guys that he recruited that got drafted last year and how many guys he brought into the program on defense that are still here.
Yeah.
So, and Kirby will tell you that, and Kirby will talk to you about his tactical ability too. He's a ball coach. His dad was a coach, and I've sat over there in the office with him and talked about the wishbone, because I feel like I know a little bit about it. And he's a defensive coach, and I guarantee you, he understands football and the different rudiments of it, you know, on a level that very few assistant coaches I've been around do. And of course, I would certainly pick Coach Smart as one of the top five over here too, along with Doug Marrone and several others. But hey, that we don't need to talk about Tennessee. That's their deal. But
well, I thought it was interesting that a Georgia player.
I mean, that is.
And he, but I thought Pruitt actually handled the question very well. Somebody asked him about it today at media day, and he said, "You know, the fact of the matter is, I was teaching kindergarten 13 years ago, and now I'm the head coach of the University of Tennessee." He was like, "I feel like it shows that I know something about relationships."
Right. You know, just from a historical standpoint, you know, the 2013 Georgia defense, just as far as like yards, points given up, third down, it's arguably the worst ever, like going back to the 40s. And what Pruitt was able to immediately do in 2014 and even 15, I mean, that team, let's face it, survived on its defense, or it goes, you know, probably 500. It's never, this program hadn't seen that before, such a quick turnaround, besides maybe like Irk Russell in 1964, right. You know.
Sure.
But I guess the one question is, because he has skills, that's obviously, can he take that and run a major, major program, and one that, I mean, I don't think they've strung 10 win seasons together since maybe toward what you were here. Yeah. I mean, it's been a long time.
But you look at the one thing that I would say that any assistant coach taking over for the first time is who you're going to surround yourself with.
Yeah.
He's got some really good coaches there on his staff. Plus, he brought John Lilly, who I think is a really good guy to string things off. You know, he's brought him in as like the CFO or whatever. You know, he's like an administrative assistant. And then he's got Fulmer up there, who's a former, he knows all the ins and outs of Tennessee. So I think, you know, that's going to help him too. This personnel right now is the biggest problem for them. You know, who's going to take over quarterback? Is it going to be this kid, Chris? We'll see how, that's what's tough when you work for sporting, you know. Aaron works for CBS, and he's got his opinions, and people are going to ask him about it, you know.
Absolutely.
But it's just, you respect their opinion. Aaron did a good job here, you know.
And
he's a heck of a quarterback.
And I'm sure Jeremy Pruitt, under no delusions about what this season holds. They're gonna play hard, and they're gonna fight in every game. But he knows this is gonna be a tough season. This is gonna be tough. If you have to come to Athens, you got to face the Crimson Tide. I mean, it's an uphill battle.
And one other point I would make is the same things that so many of the players were saying about Kirby from Alabama when he came here in the interim between the game and the championship win that they had. The same thing true. You heard so many good points from Alabama players about how Coach Pruitt had worked with their defense and done a good job, you know, and while he was trying to be the Tennessee coach too, you know. So
absolutely. We got a question here, a really good one, I think, from
they're all good.
They are all good. But I think that this one's a particularly compelling one. I believe it was Chris Metcalf here, if I can find it. He said last year, Coach always said one of the big things on game day, one of the biggest duties that anyone had was to make sure number three was on the bus. Make sure Roquan Smith was on that bus. He said he wants to know, who's that player this year that you have to make sure is on that bus?
I tell you, it's hard to see that one guy stands out. I would say right now, J.R. Reed, just because of his defensive skills in the back end, his leadership, the most experienced of any, you know, and of course Baker back there too at corner. But people have talked about the people we've lost on in the secondary, and we did lose a lot of players, but I think our skill level is better. Athletically, we're better. It's just how they're going to develop, you know, knowledge wise and coming around, you know. And you add Campbell to the mix and Webb coming off injury, but I would say that would be – I don't know that we got anybody about like Roquan, if you don't, but we're going to have maybe not a star-studded a defense, but a good unit that works together. I really think Jay Hayes is going to make a big impact right off the bat, too.
I do, too.
You just watch that guy run, and he just – have you been around him? He just ever – I mean, he just got bubbly personality, and just – it's hard to see a guy 2 months ago over, you know, at Notre Dame, a Midwestern school, a guy from – New York City come into a southern school where the players are eating grits in the morning and everything like that, and come in here and just have an effect on just jumping right in the fray and everybody liking him. I mean, you know, the general tendency for any team is to be a little bit
skeptical
of anybody coming in, plus maybe a little bit of not feeling good about maybe, hey, this guy might be taking my position, you know.
I know.
But, boy, I mean, just walk around a training room or anything, he's a very genuine guy on top of being the – I mean, I haven't seen many guys run like him at his weight.
Yeah, I tell you, a good thing to watch is just rewatch the Notre Dame-Georgia game from a year ago.
Yeah.
He did well, and, yeah, he's a good follow too.
Who's
he's entertaining.
Who's your guy though that you got to make sure is on the bus?
And this might be a surprise, but as far as who I think is the most irreplaceable player, and coach is right with this team, you know, you're kind of. I think it's Andrew Thomas.
That's a great pick.
I think if he was to go, and again, like we were talking earlier, there's plenty of depth there, but it's inexperienced. That's the one guy that if I suddenly heard, hey, he's not going to be on the team this year. If I was a Georgia fan, I'd be like, uh-oh.
Right. Yeah.
True. Yeah. That
did you see him breaking down a little bit? Doing
I did.
Little
dance? Yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Looked pretty good.
Speaking of Twitter.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's shows
you. You've heard about Roddy's dancing, haven't you? He does the elevator. Doesn't have any steps.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I do love a good Roddy dig while he's out of town.
We miss you, Roddy.
We do. Yeah. We do. We got a bunch more questions rolling in here. Chadwick Ivory wants to know, he says, when's the West End Zone scheduled to be completed, and what days are they planning to have recruits on site to show off the new digs? It's going to be that last weekend.
Yeah, I think
month.
The 26th or 28th. They're having a big day. A lot of kids coming in. And I think it's going to be a case of getting them all in the room, and, you know, we should get this guy. We'd have one guy in the back, and, you know, they'd all be talking, and we'd say, look, when everybody's really thinking about it, I want you to jump in. So, well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm coming to Georgia. How about you? And hopefully you get – but you're going to have several of those groups of guys that have committed on 19 and 20 class in there maybe working some of these guys. And there's really a lot of symbolism seeing all these guys and that are coming and being part of that, you know. And also looking at, hey, look what this guy's built here in 2 years. You go over to indoor, and then you go down there and look at the, with the help of the administration and all the fans and everything, but the foresight to have a state-of-the-art dressing room and also that recruiting room out there. It's going to be awesome, and there'll be a lot of people here that weekend.
I think it's a huge weekend for them. And as you mentioned, it's a recruiting tool. It was one of those things. You know, people have been focused on the indoor practice facility for so long, but if you have a chance, if you've ever had a chance to go into that locker room, you knew it was time for an upgrade.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. I was going to say, you know, what struck me is at these camps we've been to, and in talking to recruits and the guys that are going to be there for that West End Zone reveal or whatever. These are 17-year-old kids. They instead of just saying, yeah, I'll be up at Georgia, you know, like we said, July 20-something, they knew they were going to be up there for, I mean, the West End Zone.
Yeah, the reveal.
And I remember, I mean, when I was in high school, I couldn't have, you know, I would have cared less about, you know, but I think that says something about, you know, the staff.
Well, here's the other good thing about it, Patrick, which I think you make a good point, is everybody needs to know with the new recruiting rules and the early signing day, you have a different calendar of summer. It used to be, you know, throughout summertime, you kids could come to your campus anytime. But now, after a certain time in June until the end of July, it's a dead period. So even if a guy lived in Athens and wanted to go over there to the school to see the coach, you can't do it. You can't go on campus in person, even if you're paying your own way, on this dead period. So you got to believe that a lot of schools are going to have, because practice is getting ready to start now, are going to have a weekend where, hey, come on in and let's see you right before practice starts, and having something special that week. So not only are we having that here that day, but we're keeping them from going somewhere else the same day. Isn't that right, Jake?
Absolutely, absolutely. I know Clemson's doing something. I know Auburn's doing something. Pretty much everybody. I mean, it's going, you're exactly right. It's going to be just as much a game of keep away as it is having them in here. Speaking of, we don't want to keep you away from your pie. You need to get out there and check those guys out. Remember, it is the summer, so they got the peach and prosciutto pie. I always have to work that one in because I'm the only one who can say it. get out there. Some of the best pizza you'll ever have. They cook it right in front of you. You get to choose everything that goes on top of it, and they make it to your specifications. Also, as I always say, the cheese sticks are to die for, the best in town, I think. We've got a couple more questions I do want to touch on. Chadwick Ivory also says, who do we have a better chance of landing, N'Kobe Dean or Andrew Booth? I'm going with N'Kobe Dean, well above Booth. I don't think the chances of landing Booth are very good.
You think Booth's going to Clemson?
I really do. Yeah, I think that that's probably where he's bound for. And, you know, it's a tough one, but, you know how it goes. I mean, there are some guys who – he was never really high on Georgia. It just wasn't the fit for him.
Right.
And he knew that from the get go.
But you do feel good about Dean.
I feel better about him than I do than I do about Booth. You know, I think it's going to come down to that last inside linebacker spot. It's either going to be Dean or Ryan Davis, in my opinion. And I think they'd love to have both of them if they could take them. But different body styles, different players. N'Kobe, though, there's a little bit of Roquan in that young man. Can really run, can really, really get after it. I think he'd be a great addition no matter where he lands, but I think Georgia and Alabama are going to be the ones fighting it.
How about Jermaine Johnson?
Oh, Jermaine Johnson, yeah. He's also going to be here for the reveal. JUCO outside linebacker, one of the best in the nation. I think if you're Georgia, you've got to feel good about your chances with that guy. I think that he's a guy who fits well with what they do. Has been super interested, visited several times already, and is going to get back for this one.
He's long, and
He is. He is very, very long. And I will say, it's not going to surprise me at all if he were to commit on that weekend. I don't know. I don't have any inside information on that or anything.
So he's got to go in the fall and then come in the spring, right?
Yep.
What is it, Coffeeville?
He's at Indy.
Independence?
Yeah, he's at Independence. Big weekend. Definitely get over to UGA Sports. We'll be dropping our list later this week of all the guys that we expect to be there. Donald Mull, my old high school science teacher. So shout out Donald Mull. He wants us to comment on the disparaging marks about last year's 42-7 game from the Florida players yesterday. They seem to think it should have been a little closer than it was, and really not lacking for confidence this year, although I don't know what you would expect from them other than to say that they
you
feel
mean
like
closer
they're
because
win.
We ran it up, or because they just thought it was we were fortunate to win.
Yeah, I think that they thought that they should have won, or at least hung in better than they did.
Coach, you ever been a part of a team that lost by 35 and probably should have won?
Not anything you can really say. I mean, you know, you got to be careful. I mean, I didn't like these kids talking about. You know, it's always tough when you change coaches. The first thing they're going to say is how good the weight program is with this guy and all these. I mean, hey, it's all over. Don't make any comparisons. I know Kirby's always been great about saying, hey, this is the way it is now. We're not worried about what they did. Don't be talking about that. I know they were bagging on one of their players yesterday was bagging on the offense. And certainly their offense has been inefficient, no question about that. But the thing that I would be concerned about if I were Florida people right now is their lack of recruiting at this point. You know, they really haven't made – are they in the top 30 in the – what is their ranking right now?
I don't believe they are, to be honest with you.
And, you know,
I'll have to double check. But
that's one thing that hindered Coach Mac, they had some good players there under that played a lot. They were drafted under and went to pros at Muschamp and DJ Durkin and all those guys recruited. So, but we'll see. I know it's, you know, I think Mullen's a good coach. We've talked about him a lot. He's definitely a good coach, and we'll just have to see. But what Paul Feinbaum said that something like that McElwain's recruiting looked like Bear Bryant compared to what they've had with it. But who knows? I don't know. But they're not doing that great recruiting, are they?
No, they're not. They've got four-star guys, the rest of them three stars along the way. Just a couple guys that pop out of me, Riley Simmons. He's out of Buford, I believe. He's a big guy, a big offensive lineman. But
we didn't recruit him, do we?
No. Jamal Abrams, another guy that was pretty highly recruited, still a three-star, though. I think right now their best player that they've got committed is Tyron Hopper. He's a linebacker out of Roswell. Real quick kid, about 6'2", good frame on him, and I think he's going to end up being a player.
Georgia, did we recruit him?
Georgia did not.
What about the kid that has the brother there, how's that looking on the running back?
Oh, I think that's going to pan out. That's Trey Sanders. And, yeah, I think that ultimately that's going to end up being the deciding factor. Now, you know, he says, oh, we have all these conversations and we don't have to play together or whatever. But the fact of the matter is
– Is he a walk-on?
He was a walk-on, yeah.
They gave him a scholarship?
Yeah, yeah.
I will say that's looking at the 2019 commitment list for Florida, what, 70% of them are –
Yeah,
three star.
Yeah,
I mean that's
it's underwhelming.
That's not Florida like.
No,
at least you know several years ago.
No, they definitely need before. They're going to need a big finish, and really it may come down to what they do on the field this year. You know, I think that if they're able to put together a big product and get out there, they could make some headway.
I just don't see how though they can, especially whether it's the players, the Florida fans, what have you. You almost just need to give this year a pass, just try to build, yeah. You know, I mean, because,
I mean, yeah.
And then in recruiting too, you know, it's going to take time to get his first real
class. I just don't think I've ever seen a team, and it shows you kind of what the Eastern Division has been here the last 7 or 8 years. You got Missouri winning it 2 years, then Florida, but Florida lost four games under Muschamp, and he gets let go. Wins the championship the next year, wins the championship the next year, and wins four games. So in a four-year span, they were either the Eastern champion or the last in the league.
Yeah. I'm going I got one last question for us, and I just want you to hit this one real quick.
Are we already out of time?
We are. Amazing.
Wow. Patrick, you really
– Well, I really get things moving here. You know?
One of the big stories from Media Days was I think it was, Greg McElroy maybe, who said, essentially the quote was, Georgia's got the East locked up. There's nobody that's going to compete with them in the East this year. Can you see anybody that's going to give them a fit?
You know, the thing about any team is you've got to avoid losing before you win.
Yeah.
And all out. Say, and I try not to go back on my years here, but the South Carolina game our last year, when you have five turnovers against a team, you're going to lose a game regardless of how they happened, regardless of the fact that they practiced all summer and weren't supposed to and got called but got put on probation.
but they beat us
on the field, and they deserve it. But I just think you got to be careful there to understand that we were a very efficient team last year with a tremendous kicking game, and we didn't beat ourselves. Plus, we were very good. So I think this year that's going to be the key. How is our punter going to come on? But we got to be the favorite just because of our players that we have and the winning and also the lack of players on so many of these other teams.
Jordan Rogers was who said that. Thank you, Ronnie Brown.
Jordan Vanderbilt.
Yeah. And I think, Patrick, who do you see? I mean, I think we all think Georgia's probably going to win the East. You see South Carolina in that second spot? Missouri?
I'll be honest with you, kind of like what Coach said. I think this Georgia program now, I don't think they necessarily – beat themselves, you know.
Yep.
I just even if with a bunch of young guys and playing many experience, but then on the flip side too, you know, of those other six, who would you pick? You know, and because of that gap, what do you call it, a lock? Or
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, essentially, yeah. I'll see if I can find
it. I don't know about a lock, but how about a near lock? How about that?
Sure.
I mean, it's –
Here's the thing, though, that I would say, taking the devil's advocate, we got to play our first two conference games on the road. Sure. We're playing two of the top three teams from the West. If you say LSU is right there with Mississippi State, but you got to say Auburn's the second team. We're playing two of the top three teams of the West. So those four games right there make it where you can't say it's a cinch to me. But I'm very confident, though, about our chances. I like our squad. I mean, I don't think any coach on our staff would change our personnel with anybody else. But it's just – that's what's always tough, you know, predicting all these things and everything like that. But our schedule sets up to have a big year, and we're going to have to do really well because our strength of schedule is going to hurt us.
That's right.
All right, we've covered everything. We've gone long today, so hopefully you learned something along the way. I do want to shout out all of our sponsors as always. Thank you to Champions Chicken for having us out here. You can join us next Tuesday. We'll be back on our regular time. That's at noon on Tuesdays. Shout out to 11 Alive for having us on their Facebook page. Shout out to Robert Wall and Cable East. We do appreciate those guys. Your Pie, some of the best pizza you're going to get anywhere. Athens Ford. Obviously, Academia. We love their beer. We want to shout out 365 Game Day as well, and I think that's everybody today.
Coach,
so I appreciate you guys tuning in. Make sure to tune in next Tuesday at noon, and we'll see you.
Are you here next week?
I am.
All right.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Good night.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.